Hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to the Words, Women, and Wisdom radio show. I'm Yvonne Silva, your host, and today I have a couple of interesting things happening. I have an interview that I aired a little while ago, that I recorded a little while ago, International Women's Day, with amazing powerhouse serial entrepreneur Melinda Whitstock, and I'll do her formal introduction in just a moment. And then I wanted to spend the rest of this hour diving into some content from my best-selling book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, because it's just being released now on audiobook. The first chapter is available. I'm going to tell you how to access that. And there's also a sample so you can, I mean, you can hear me on radio now, but you can hear a sample of what the book is all about. It's about an hour and a half for chapter six that is all about harmonious words for a happy home. I launched it for Mother's Day on Sunday. So if we haven't spoken already before, I'm all about changing women's lives. I'm passionate about working with social enterprise women who have a mission-inspired focus and really looking at this expansion that women go through as we move from solopreneur to CEO. And there's a different mindset that crops up. There's a lot of doubt sometimes. It's imposter syndrome that comes up and emerges. And what I do is teach women to have more confident conversations, to collaborate and master their sales conversations so that they have sales velocity, they have more confidence, and they can really have that purposeful, joyful business and life connection that creates such energy and enjoyment and energy. And especially, I think women have this nurturing mindset where we're looking at the long term. And Melinda and I are going to talk about that a little bit more today. So let's roll the interview. Thank you, Doug, our show producer. And I'll be back after this interview.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to the Words, Women, and Wisdom show, streaming on Podopolo. And we're going to get to what that is in just a moment. I'm your host, Yvonne E.L. Silver. I'm here in sunny Calgary, Alberta, based in the Rocky Mountains, and airing this show as a way to showcase amazing women who are out there in the world, very successful in business, but also have a heart-centered, mission-inspired focus in their business. So my role is to uplift the spirit of humanity, and I do that by airing these shows on my radio show, on my podcast, in writings, in events, and really looking at what is it that makes these women so special, what is it that helps them with their success, and what can we learn from their journeys along the way. So today, I'm delighted to have my good friend, Melinda Whitstock, joining me. Hello, Melinda.
Hey, Yvonne, it's so good to be here. Welcome to, you were describing sunny Calgary. It's very sunny here in Washington, D.C. as well. A little bit too cold still. but I'm joining you from my dining room in my yoga workout gear.
Well, this is the thing. We haven't done your intro yet. This is the thing. You are a serial entrepreneur, which means that you get up to all kinds of cool tech stuff all hours of day or night. So, you know, this is not a fashion show. This is about real, authentic leadership. So here we are. I just happened to be on another call doing some International Women's Day stuff. And so I had a dress on.
Well, that's the way it showed. You look beautiful. And I'm just going to say this is my pandemic chic.
It's about transparency, authenticity, and getting real. And that's what this show looks at is, you know, it's not about trying to be this perfect entrepreneur. It's about what really matters and what can other women learn from it, because there are always things coming up. I'm in a mastermind group, and just in the last 6 weeks of being in that group, there have been five people that have lost someone. In terms of passing away, life happens, right? So we need to be adaptable, flexible, and resilient. And when we're coming from a place of service and coming from our heart, it makes that all the more easy to just show up show up and be real. Yeah. So for those who haven't met Melinda, Melinda is a 5-time serial entrepreneur who's built 4 successful businesses in media and tech to 7- and 8-figure businesses. She's the CEO and founder of the latest venture, Podopolo, which is a socially interactive and gamified podcast network where people gather together to listen and discover their favorite podcast. Let me get into that in a little bit more, because I think that's new and innovative. I don't think people are going to really embrace what that fully looks like. So it's about connecting hosts and each other, winning rewards, and putting lessons learned into action to enhance their lives and engage in a world-changing social impact initiative platform. It sounds so cool. So you're already acknowledged as a visionary in tech, in media, mobile platforms, and social content. You had also spent quite a bit of time in the media in the past, and now are hosting the very fast-growing Wings of Inspired Business, which is a podcast named by Entrepreneur Magazine as number 8 of 20 of the top business podcasts for feminine power, and collaborate to change the game of business and succeed without a trade-off, without guilt or apology. I love that phrase. And you also host the transformational mastermind and luxury retreat, Wings of the Empowered Women, for women with 7, 8, and 9-figure businesses. So welcome.
Hey, Yvonne. No, it's great to be with you. And I go on a lot of podcasts, and I always hear my bio written. I get a little exhausted listening to my own thing. I was like, when did I have time to do all that? But I guess, it's a really exciting place to be in the podcasting space right now, because it is the fastest growing media of all time. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to think, like, here in the United States, 150 million Americans are listening to podcasts more than 6 hours a week. It's growing incredibly quickly. And so there's so many different apps that now that you can listen to podcasts on. But what we're doing very, very differently is really connecting people in conversation and community around the podcasts that they're listening to. Mm-hmm. As a listener, I was always frustrated listening to a podcast because I'd hear something like some nugget that was really, really interesting to me. And I'd want to talk to somebody about it, or note it down, or share it with somebody, or put it into action in my own life. And there's no app that really allows you to do that, until, of course, Podopolo. And how could we improve the listener experience and so that really that content was becoming actionable in a myriad ways, whether you're enhancing your own life or whether you're getting together with other people to do sort of game-changing things, that really improve our world. And then meantime, as a podcaster, I learned how much podcasters struggle with a number of issues, which I feel are kind of structural problems in the industry that prevent podcasters from making money for their content. Mm-hmm. Just about every podcaster, unless they're Joe Rogan or, they're produced by a Hollywood studio or a major network, really struggle to be discovered. Because the algorithms don't pick them up unless they have massive numbers. And most podcasters don't have massive numbers because they are inherently niche. So there's a struggle to be discovered. There's also a struggle to really grow and engage your community. And so on Podopolo, podcasters can be in discussion with their listeners in community, as people are listening, and also over time. And really growing that community, and even better than that, knowing that community, actually knowing who's actually listening, so podcasters can be more responsive to what their listeners actually want from them, but also so that we are able to match them to really great revenue generating opportunities around advertising and sponsorship and paywall and other things besides. So, bottom line, we're inventing a whole new category. There's nothing like it that has ever existed. So if you combine Spotify with a Reddit and an Instagram, and you threw in some really cool gamification that really rewards people and incentivizes them to really up-level their lives, that would be Podopolo. So that's what we mean by social and gamified. All of that.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, thank you for explaining that piece. I have a show on Podopolo, the Words, yeah. Women and Wisdom podcast is hosted on Podopolo. And I have to admit, I haven't really fully wrapped my head around it because this is so new in terms of how to leverage it. So we'll be having more conversations on that.
Absolutely. We have a brand new version of the app coming out too in like later April and into May, mm-hmm. which has a radically improved user experience and more features and functionality that are going to be really, really exciting for podcasters. It really is exciting. I can't wait to
I'm excited because I've watched you and some of your business adventures over the past few years since we met at Maverick Camp with Yannick Silva's event. Yeah. And I've just been so intrigued and impressed with all the things that you take on and how you just leap into them with gusto and also have the technical savvy to be able to really see where those opportunities are. Yet always with that mindset of how can this uplift others? How can we, as you say, lift as we climb? How can we encourage others to be their best version of themselves? So a lot of the interviews that you do on Wings are with women entrepreneurs, which I love listening to, who have risen, again, from tragedy to triumph. Seems to be a common theme with
tragedy,
which is probably why we get along.
There are so many patterns, you know, that we all share, because I think female entrepreneurs come into entrepreneurship kind of differently than men. Men tend to, it's about the money. It's about getting a fast return. It's about flipping the, building to sell. It's like more like that. Not at all men, but they're more likely to come at it that way. Whereas women become almost accidental or even reluctant entrepreneurs because they see a problem that they're searching for answers, or they have a problem in their own lives that nobody's solving. And at the end of the day, it's kind of like, okay, well, if no one else is, I guess that's me. I guess I have to step up to that. And women are more likely to create what I call conscious businesses, not only leveraging the authentic feminine of empathy and intuition and our ability to multitask and connect the dots, which infuses our business models, but we're actually going out and really disrupting things, thinking about business in a whole new way. And so I think there's never been a better time, I think, for women to step up into entrepreneurship. However, it's not for the faint-hearted. If you love a roller coaster where every day, no matter how many times you've done it before, like, because you think, oh, company number five, this must be easy for Melinda, right? And yeah, sure, like I've learned a lot of stuff along the way, and I kind of know what to expect, but I swear to God, every day, no matter what, and every company is different, so you're gonna have like different challenges and different things. It's like it's almost like so predictable that you become used to the predictability of change,
the predictability of uncertainty. Yeah, this rapid culture, rapid, unpredictable. And chaotic, basically. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So I wanted to draw out for the benefit of the listeners, because obviously you've got a ton of experience and, you know, you've got your own story of tragedy to triumph, key insights that you've learned along the way. So I would like to focus on a few of those. You know, what do you think is making the biggest contribution to women stepping into leadership? What have you learned along the way? Key insights that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like what I was saying before. So many of the women, I've interviewed more than 600 women now for Wings, and I think of all my different female entrepreneurship networks. It's where often women have a challenge or a crisis or something in their lives, or they're just are looking for a solution and none exists. And they assume, or they look for, okay, surely someone must be doing something about this. And in so many, you know, whether you look at what's wrong with education, or you look at what's wrong with our healthcare system, or if you look at all these different things, or media, or social networking, or any of the issues that we see, women tend to look at those and come at it with domain expertise because they've innovated as far as they can within a corporate glass ceiling environment. And finally, like usually in their 30s or 40s, say, okay, enough. If no one's doing it, I'm going to step up and do it. And the profile of the female entrepreneur tends to be very different from the stereotype guy in his 20s in his garage in a hoodie eating ramen noodles, right? Like we tend not to be that. Most entrepreneurs have been in management positions, female ones, were hired, fired, have domain expertise, and come to it with something that's personal. That, you know, there's something in our life or something in our journey that we really specifically, personally want to solve. And I think we approach it in a very different way as well, because we tend to have the emotional intelligence to really care about how we run our companies and welfare of our teams and what our company culture is like and how we empower other people. Mm-hmm. And that actually is a significant secret superpower of women, where we're more likely to succeed as a result of those things. I think it's a really exciting time.
There's actually some research, Zenger Folkman research, that looked at, you know, 16 characteristics of leaders, and the top 10 were the ones where the women were excelling, and they were things that you've mentioned, but definitely encouraging and leaders leading others, looking at that long-term picture of, you know, how can we not only be sustainable and have our profits, but also building something that's worthwhile, that's more than just the money, which of course is, you know, back to think of Viktor Frankl's meaning, right? It's got to be something that is bigger than just you. Right. So I love that piece. And that's partly why I do the work that I do. You know my story about, you know, having a conversation with my dad at 11 and him screaming that I would never, ever be successful in life. Well, thanks. I'm just going into high school. I really needed that. And it leading to writing my book and all kinds of other things to honor, you know, my mom, and just never wanting other women to feel that they have a lack of confidence and don't have the words to speak up and speak out. So that's the passion. So certainly, you know, we lift as we climb, we soar together, you know, mentoring, promoting, all of those pieces when it's your own team. And then also buying from and investing in each other.
Women, I think we're shifting too now from where we were programmed to be in scarcity. Yeah. We're starting to shift more into abundance. And I want to break that down on what I mean by that. Because for the longest time, there was no real oxygen at the top of the mountain. There wasn't enough space for a lot of women to stand at the top of the mountain. Maybe one might make it, maybe two. So as a result of that, in that kind of scarcity, women were competing with each other to hit the pinnacle. Yeah. And as a result, women weren't really helping each other. There were no real like hand up the mountain or whatever, which held us all back. And I'm old enough to remember those times where it was impossible to find a female mentor, or the woman above you actually actively tried to like sabotage you. Like, I mean, it could be that bad. You know, it was like it fell into all the stereotypes of like cat fighting and all this kind of stuff. And really unfortunate. And I've seen it change over time to right now, where what I'd like to see is women just competing generally. Like, it's not just with other women. You're competing with men too. You're just like competing. You're just not even necessarily just competing, but being genuinely who you are, authentically who you are, going out and solving the issue, helping other people, and also receiving help from other people. So I just believe that when women, because we are inherently a lot more community focused, a lot more about the community than men are, when we leverage that natural, innate, intrinsic ability that we have to really connect in that way, miracles happen. So I like to see women buy from other women's companies. I like to see women promote other women on social media or wherever. I am absolutely committed to really inspiring women who have the means to invest in other women's startups and companies. Okay. That's absolutely vital, and obviously to mentor each other. And so, for instance, when we had the Wings of the Empowered Woman retreat in 2019, all the women who were at that retreat did $500,000 worth of business with each other. Woo-hoo. That was 25 women. So think about that. Think of how that drives the economy. Think of how we all lifted each other. We were all better for the experience. And that doesn't even include the exchange of, you know, knowledge or whatever. So we're going to do that retreat again in Costa Rica at a beautiful resort called Imaloa coming up in October. And we're about to start promoting that event again. And we can now have like 44 women at this. And it's amazing. But it's really about inspiring that deep connection where it's not a threat, or it's not like it's a good thing to see another woman do really well.
Absolutely.
Like, it shouldn't inspire jealousy. It should be like, oh, if she can do it, then yeah, like, so can I.
It's so interesting. I mean, I have a corporate background too, and I always used to say, as a, you know, senior HR VP, you know, you're not going to be able to move up unless you've got a successor who's trained and ready to take your job. Otherwise, right. You can't move because you're stuck there, and trying to at that point convince people that that was the right perspective to look at it, because there was that scarcity mindset. So it's interesting how it's shifted as well. And I'm not quite sure exactly what caused the shift, or whether it's just that there's been enough women succeeding now that there's so many role models. It's like the tipping point has passed. It's undeniable. Mm-hmm. Have a comment on that?
So I lost you for part of it. I had a bad internet connection, and I didn't actually hear your whole question. So maybe you just like repeat it for me really quickly so I catch up.
my question was, you know, I noticed in corporate that I had almost to convince women sometimes that they needed to have a successor trained in order for them to be able to free up to move into a higher job themselves. And I was curious to know what your thoughts were around when did it shift? Because I'm feeling too that there is this abundance mindset, women are helping women. Has it just been that there's been a tipping point?
I don't know. It's gradual. I don't know whether there's been a lot of moments along the way of sort of empowerment, whether it's the Me Too movement or just a general awakening. If you go really woo woo, it's like we're now in the age of Aquarius, which is more feminine energy. I mean, you could point to a whole bunch of different things, and I don't think it's any one thing. I think it's just the way it's going. What I see that's really interesting, though, is that so many women held themselves back, say, for instance, in entrepreneurship, because they thought they needed like triple certification and qualifications. There was some sort of thing you had to prove your competency, or you need 5 degrees or whatever. When men, that never held any men back. The reason most male, successful male entrepreneurs are actually college dropouts. But women think, and again, it's because of this, I think, a subconscious thing where we're still stuck in like proving our competency. And there are very valid historical reasons for that of why we've fallen into that. But I see women getting more confident in entrepreneurship, where you don't really need any credentials, because like every hour of every day, you're continually learning. It's kind of a mix of therapy. And business training. So people ask me like what my credential, I don't know why I was like, I went to college. I have a BA in like political science, which has nothing to do with anything I do, right? But like, I was an award-winning journalist. I didn't go to journalism school. I'm an acclaimed business owner. There's a lot of success in business. I never went to business school. I mean, all my learning is being dedicated to being a lifelong learner. And what I love about entrepreneurship is that every day is different. And it's all about, if you're naturally curious and you're trying to figure out a solution to something and you enjoy solving problems or figuring out a way or being creative in that sense and innovating, then entrepreneurship is great. There are no qualifications for it. There is definitely, it's mandatory to be continually learning, though.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Having a passion for personal growth, having a passion, period, and being committed to making sure that that idea gets spread and shared, and the concept that it has social good attached to it. That is so important for me in the work that I do, It's about social enterprise. It's about mission impacted businesses. I don't call them mission driven because I think driven is, again, a different energy than when you're inspired by something.
You're actually impacting something. Like, it's interesting, actually, on that point, because with Podopolo, you know, we can measure our success in lots of traditional ways, like what's our revenue? What's our profit margins? You know, what's the engagement rate on the app? How long are people listening? You know, all those things. And we'll do that. But our other metrics that we're developing are really around social impact. Yes. So when we're leveraging gamification as the app becomes more sophisticated in really bringing people together, whether they're going to plant 10,000 trees and help solve climate change or deliver food to homeless people or support minority-owned women businesses, for instance, or whatever those impacts are, we're going to be in the business of tracking those impacts and actually measuring our success as a company by what the transformation actually is and what the individual transformation is as a result of listening to all these great podcasts, as a result of collaborating with other people. And so that's what's so close in my heart about what we're doing in Podopolo. And I think it's possible for any business. I mean, you can say, like, we also set a goal that we will be carbon neutral. You know, there are certain things around those UN global goals that every business is different, but incorporating that in your business right from the start, or even in your personal mission statement, is really, really important. And I think it's especially important for women, because I think we've been acculturated to not want to make it about ourselves or not look like we're, you know, selfish or greedy or like bitchy or whatever that kind of thing is, right? So it's easier for us to sell when it's attached to a higher social value than just the naked wish to make money.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I've had a number of conversations in the past couple of weeks, actually, with some new clients where the sustainable development goals are basically like the anchor. So if you don't have a strong mission statement yet, anchor to that, because that's already developed, defined. Don't reinvent the wheel. Just, you know, align yourself, like mine is, you know, number 5, gender equality. Align yourself with that. And then you have your springboard, and it's working beautifully. So we certainly talked about, you know, several key insights, several takeaways that I've made a note of today. And I wanted to also invite you to offer a gift, probably a gift about podcasting, to the audience that's listening. What did you have to share today?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm always happy to talk to anybody. I do, 15-minute one-on-one, you know, consults with anyone who's interested in launching a podcast. I have a group forming right now for people to come into and get their podcast launched in just like 8 short steps, where we really focus a lot on, like, the biggest mistake a lot of podcasters make, Yvonne, is that they launch a podcast. It's a great podcast. However, there's no marketing strategy, or there's no understanding of, like, I don't know, how it's going to sustain around your lifestyle or what systems you're going to put around it. And most importantly, a lot of people launch without a monetization strategy. So that's one of the things we do differently. So the best way to find out about that is to just email me at melinda@podopolo.com. And just, you know, if you're interested, and get on my calendar. Sadly, I forgot the calendar link off the top of my head.
We'll put it in the show notes.
And also the other thing too, is if you're a female entrepreneur, you know, with a business in the high 6-figure, 7-figure, 8-figure, whatever, and you want to come to a transformational retreat, definitely you should check out the Wings of the Empowered Woman retreat. And, let's see, download Podopolo, you know, it's free in both app stores.
Okay. Awesome. And there was also, profiting from podcasting. That was, something that you had put together.
Absolutely. So I have a free guide to 7 steps to make your podcast profitable. So by all means, grab that. And if that's in your show notes, Yvonne, thank you. I have such a busy day. It's like the typical entrepreneur's day today has gone everything from figuring out our cyber insurance, right, through to hiring like two people, onboarding a marketing agency, trying to decide between two different PR firms, having a, as our developers are, iterating the product, we've had a product demo, just like, oh my God. And there's a podcast in the middle of it.
And this podcast, yes.
That's why I put my yoga clothes. I didn't have time.
I have a gift for you too. If you like, I'm happy to connect you with a colleague of mine who's a female entrepreneur who deals in cybersecurity challenges. So
fantastic. Make
that connection if that's useful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, no, you have to have all this stuff kind of, lined up. For sure, yeah.
Awesome. Well, listen, I really appreciate you hopping on, and I wanted to do this interview during International Women's Day week because that is a special time of year to be celebrating all the successful women out there, whether they're in corporate or in the entrepreneur space, and you are certainly one of my go-to inspiring podcast interviewers, and love what you're up to, love what you're doing, and the heart you're doing it with. So thank you.
And it's mutual, Yvonne. You're doing something very, very special. And I think we all are, and we all help each other in this way, getting on each other's podcasts, just helping any way we can. And I love how that beautiful energy you bring into this, where you connect people in such a meaningful way. And you're a shining light. So keep doing what you're doing, and happy International Women's Day to you.
Happy International Women's Day and week. Thanks, Linda, for your time. We will be in touch about the podcast, okay?
Perfect. Thank
Bye
you.
For now.
That was such an interesting interview with Melinda, serial entrepreneur now developing a new concept. First to market, new concept with podcasting as a socially interactive platform. I hope you enjoyed that interview. I want to loop back to a couple of things that Melinda said, as they are echoing some of the content in my best-selling book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, which was a bestseller November 1st on 2018 when it launched on Amazon in two categories. So I'm going to refer to a little bit of content from the book. And then I also want to just share the video that talks about, why did I even start writing this book? So this book is for, it's called Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. And it's for women who want to feel more confident in their relationships. And when they do, they're stronger role models for their children and their career. And their family thrives. And women can help evolve a powerful, nurturing ripple effect for others, especially other women, as Melinda referenced, the lift as we climb concept. When business is led by women, we infuse our feminine energy, nurturing collaboration, and making heart-based decisions. Our focus is on long-term sustainability and thoughtful impact, creating a better world for our children that they'll be proud to inherit. Yet the fast pace of our economy, as data shows, still led by a majority of male executives and board members, is often driven by short-term monetary goals versus long-term vision for creating a better world. I believe it's time for change. It's time to bring those two disparities together. I believe that women have a powerful role to play as leaders of our own lives first, our families second, and our communities third. When women have confident conversations and are truly heard, collaboration and cooperation flourishes. Confident women are promoted, receive salary increases, and secure promotions. And I want you, the listeners, you to step into your maximum potential and your highest earning power by using more powerful language and having more confident conversations. With the social media explosion following the Harvey Weinstein allegations, women are no longer willing to be quiet and subservient bystanders of their own lives. It's time for women to be heard and respected. Using more confident and effective language is the beginning. So confidence comes from deep within as our words reflect what we feel inside and how grounded our energy is, and our inner knowing shines through in our external communications. So let's meet the world where it's at right now with the elevated social media focus on treating women more fairly and respectfully. We had International Women's Day, March 8th. We just had Mother's Day. What kind of beautiful shift occurs in this perfect storm of events? Now, I'm going to just air the book video. For those of you who are not familiar with the book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, and let that play for a few minutes, and then I'll be back on to share a little bit more from the chapters in my book that I think really tie in nicely with my interview with Melinda. So we're going to talk about this topic of amplifying and also the topic of negotiating. So I'll see you in a few minutes.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and have already changed history. On October 5th, The New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request. Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in four different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change. The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us, and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing. I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she'd once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars.
Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future, ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power, add words that energize and invigorate, and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women, and Wisdom today.
It's interesting when you play your own video, how things have shifted in the last couple of years. They've shifted because there's now more of a focus on audiobooks. And I've decided that I was going to release Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, on audiobook for a specific reason right before Mother's Day, because the chapter I released was chapter 6, which is all about harmonious words for a happy home. And you can pick up your own copy of the chapter 6 and sample by either going to allsound.com/A, and then the book title with a hyphen between each word, Words hyphen Women hyphen Wisdom hyphen the hyphen Modern hyphen Art hyphen of hyphen Confident. Or you can go to an easier bit.ly link, which is bit.ly/3F like Fred in lowercase, 03V like Victor, capital V, a lowercase T like Tango, number 5. So that's to pick up a copy of the audiobook chapter 6 as a sample of how that sounds and what the content is all about. I want to reference a couple of things in the book. One is key to part of the success I believe that women need right now. If I look at some of the ideas shared by my previous coach, Jane Morello, she's talking about coaches in specific, but I think that there are some common threads with all of the social entrepreneurs that I speak with, women in business, that success is really boiling down to three things: better content marketing, better messaging, and better quality of content. Because, you know, even the highest earning coaches in our industry, she says, they're not necessarily the best coaches. They are some of the best coaches that we know to get amazing transformations. However, they are the best marketers. So there is something to be learned when you're A, marketing and having that clarity around who you're serving, and what's the transformation that you're able to take them through. In my case, I love working with mission-inspired women entrepreneurs and solopreneurs who are ready to move from solopreneur to CEO. And a lot of that work is around their confidence, having more confident conversations so that they can step into what I refer to as sales mastery. There's actually a sales velocity technique that I learned recently as I learned more about how to tap into different personality science content through one particular tool. And also drawing on some of my own experiences over the last 30 years, negotiating. So when we negotiate, and this is actually chapter 7.4 in my book, almost every day, women are required to negotiate, whether in preparation for a treaty or a contract with a spouse over who's taking the children to school or after school activities. We often feel required to negotiate for things that we're actually entitled to, such as leaving the office at 5 p.m. if you agreed in your employment contract for regular office hours if you're in a corporate role. We negotiate with another family member to pick up the children from hockey or ballet, enabling us to attend a special event or have time to go to the spa for peaceful relaxation. I'm curious, what did you already negotiate today? One of the most important beliefs that comes up frequently as I'm working with my clients is the belief that we are worthy of receiving, When you speak up, negotiate and ask for your needs to be fulfilled, you are role modeling assertiveness for your children, especially your daughters, your nieces or female co-workers, or your team members. Hence, negotiating successfully is a key to confident conversations. Each time you attend a meeting and share a new idea, invite a potential client to a meeting, even going on a first date, you're selling yourself or selling an idea. Women are generally community-oriented and collaborative, often hoping that the other person will like us enough to want to hear what we have to say, appreciate our ideas, or want to build a relationship. And I use the word relationship generally here, referring primarily to client relationships in this context. In order for a strong relationship to evolve or a sale to take place, your potential friend or client must know, like, and trust you. In the book, The Go-Giver, authors Bob Berg and John David Mann share, all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. And we're diving into that book for the Women and Wisdom Online Business Book Club on May 20th. And I'll be posting that invitation again on LinkedIn. In that book, they have that interesting statement, as often for women in business, all things are generally not equal. And this enables an easier decision regarding who to do business with. Other women business owners, as Melinda shared in her interview. You can increase the likelihood of building strong, meaningful relationships by finding common values. Now, The Go-Giver is obviously a highly recommended read, as it tells the story of an ambitious young man who yearns for success, a go-getter. It often feels as if the harder and faster he works, the further away his goals seem to be. And one day at the end of a bad quarter, he seeks advice and learns from other successful business owners how to open himself up to the power of giving through observing what Berg and Mann describe as the five laws of stratospheric success, and magical results happen. Now, negotiating is a critical skill for women to develop. Data shows that women in many countries earn still less than men for doing the same work. And in Canada, at the time I wrote the book, Statistics Canada was showing that women were earning 82 cents for every dollar that was earned by men doing exactly the same job. And according to Catalyst Canada, a nonprofit organization that focuses on expanding opportunities for women in business, this number is shifting at a snail's pace. The Canadian numbers are marginally better than the U.S.'s at the time of writing, 78 cents for every dollar, but still sets the gap in Canada at 18%, which is much higher than many other countries. So that's part of the reason that I do the work I do, working with entrepreneurs, because I believe that we can best help women to earn more. When women entrepreneurs are successful, we can hire more women, pay them at fair wages, and encourage them to flourish and grow. And I worked for many years in human resources and made job offers to men and women. And I observed a pattern that less women negotiated the salary offer. And that was actually borne out by some additional information, survey research done by Linda Babcock and Sarah Lachever. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, Linda. Oh, sorry, Sarah. I hope not. In their book, Ask For It. And what they showed in their report from survey evidence, that men are four times more likely to negotiate on first salaries. And the individuals who do not negotiate first salaries lose more than, wait for it, $500,000 by age 60. Wow, that's $500,000 of lost wages by not negotiating, ladies. So that is absolutely key. Now, if you move too quickly in evolving a relationship by asking for too much too soon, it will very often feel forced or fake. And you'll often end up pushing the other person away. Relationship evolution is individual. It's not an exact science. However, there are certainly lessons that we can learn from nature on this topic. Courtship in the animal kingdom leaves us clues. Birds exhibit some of the most spectacular courtship rituals. And in a competitive jungle, males need to fight to compete for female attention in order to secure mating rights. A mating dance between birds may be displayed for hours. So negotiating a job offer can sometimes feel like a courting dance. Really important to connect your values to those of the organization as you show how you can add value to the team. Have that as your common starting point. Find something that brings you together first. Mirror the other person's body language to send unconscious signals that you are on the same wavelength as them. If they're leaning forward, lean forward yourself. If they're sitting back, sit back yourself. To show that you're also willing to give them some personal space as well, and you're not willing to rush into a conversation element that is deeply personal or potentially risky too early in the conversation. And in job interviews or other negotiations that may involve a monetary value, always find ways to gauge how willing they are to explore either a salary range element or look at the total rewards package by listening to words like perhaps we could rather than already set or non-negotiable. Even if their words may identify a predetermined pay rate, look at how your skills and abilities can add value to that organization. Ask for what you want clearly, and then stop talking while you wait for their reply. Let the silence do the heavy lifting for you. And eventually, they'll need to reply. However, do not let the discomfort of the silence lead you into the one speaking first. Let the other party initiate their salary offer after you have confidently showcased your skills and demonstrated how you are a great fit. Look at the big picture period. If you identify an individual list of things that contribute to accepting what is being shared and offered, sometimes then it seems like the offer needs some clarity. So what you could say is, you know, in our discussions, I see that your organization values X, Y, Z and connect those back to their stated values. I can help you achieve your business objectives in this role by leveraging my values of X, Y, Z. So show how your values align with theirs. And when asked, what did you make in your previous salary? Well, consider that giving a specific number could eliminate you from consideration. If it's too high, you could appear overpriced. If it's too low, your efficiency is doubted. So it's very interesting that women don't necessarily learn how to negotiate and negotiate well. And I believe that when we're clear on our value, then we can articulate very easily what it is that we want and get it. And I teach women how to do that. The other thing is about silence and the power pause. Since silence is one of the most powerful communication tools, it's often not the words we use, it's the use of silence. And as a coach, I've heard the expression said many times, let the silence do the heavy lifting. When asking a question, let the silence following your question draw out a reply from the other person. By not saying anything, by letting the energy of possibility hang in the air until the best answer appears, an open invitation pulls the other person to stay in connection, even though no words are spoken. The question keeps the opening there, while the longer the silence stretches, the more it invites a deeper response. Now, Melinda, I actually interviewed Melinda for my book, and what she was saying is that it's so important for women not to feel the need to fill conversational gaps. She says, I remember doing a pitch competition. There were 10 of us in the technology world with 3 women and 7 men. I did my pitch, identifying what traction we already had in the marketplace and talked about specific customers and the activities and value that was driven. at the end, one of the investors said, I really wish that someone had talked about their customers. Really? I thought, I just did that. As a broadcaster, I know my delivery was pitch perfect. Women tend to be more conservative about their numbers. They're more accurate about forecasting and tend to be downgraded by venture capitalists. That's a quote from Melinda. So I want to leave you today with a couple of ideas. First one is to pick up a copy of the audiobook so that for busy women on the go, whether you're exercising, supporting your children in between homeschooling questions, out exercising, walking your dog, you can also be learning. And there's 8 chapters in Words, Women, and Wisdom. Chapter 6 is the one I've released so far, with the intention that the remainder will follow around about the end of May. So you can pick up your copy by going to bit.ly, bit.ly, /3F, like Fred, in lowercase, 03V, like Victor, as capital V, lowercase T, like Tango, number 5. So I would love to see as many of you as possible picking up a copy, because this is such a informative book. There are over 175 references in the total book, drawing on 13 interviews with confident and influential women, including Melinda and many others, who were also kind enough to contribute content to the book, including Marcy Shimoff, Teresa de Grobois, many other women. So I hope you found this informational interview today to be valuable. You've made some notes. And if you'd like to reach out to me, feel free to do so. You can connect with me on LinkedIn or on Facebook. I'm Yvonne E.L. Silva with Women and Wisdom Media. My role, as I said, is uplifting the spirit of humanity, showcasing amazing women who are now out there doing really cool things in the marketplace, and especially those women who have a mission-inspired business. So if you are an entrepreneur who is looking at expanding your impact from being a solopreneur to a CEO, I encourage you to reach out. With 30 years in business and 8 startups, there's a lot of lessons and nuggets I can share with you. They'll probably save you a ton of heartache and pain and time. So everybody, I wish you a fabulous day, and bye for now.